your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. We talked about a lot of different markets and some of the key drivers into next year. For these next two segments to wrap up this weekend show, this Christmas edition, we are going to be focusing a bit more on the resource sector. We're starting that with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of the big money players in the resource sector. Jayant, before we get into some of the stocks and some of your due diligence recently, I want to just recap this year for precious metals. Gold is only down about 6% this whole year. Boy, oh boy, it feels like it's down 20, 30, even 40% with just how bad the sentiment is. Silver also down 16%, which that is a bit more. But again, it really feels like the precious metals have been left behind and they were down a lot more. But hey, those are the year-to-date numbers that we are seeing as we are recording this about halfway through the day on Wednesday. Jayant, what's your outlook for next year? As I mentioned, this year, it was pretty depressing for a lot of the precious metals investors. Do you think that we are in a prolonged consolidation correction, or is 2022 going to put a bit more life into the sector?
Oh, I think there will be more life in the sector early next year. And the reason is, Corey, you rightly explained why, which is that while gold price has fallen a bit, some of the stocks have fallen a lot more than this 6 or 16% that you talked respectively about gold and silver. So I think precious metal stocks have fallen too much. And also what we have right now is tax loss selling, and the companies that that might need cash in the near future are likely suffering because markets fear that they might not be able to raise money easily over the next few months. But I think those who invest this month over the next few days should make some good profit over the next 1 month or so.
Jayant, what do you see as some of the key catalysts or the narrative behind a rebound coming for the precious metals?
I think the biggest thing is that we have tax loss selling happening right now. Once this is over, a rebound should happen early next year. And a lot of astute investors who understand what happens during the tax loss selling actually make good amount of money between December and January. And I think people should take into account, they probably want to go to the charts of individual companies and look at companies that might have fallen a lot over since January. And if they have fallen a lot over the last 1 year or 2 years, then people might just be selling those shares to book their tax losses. And that is an opportunity for new investors.
Yeah, Jayant, we typically see this pattern, or we, at least we have for many years, where there's that tax loss selling, and then there's what we call the Q1 run, where things pick up in January and February. This year we just had was a little strange in that the gold stocks didn't have that big of a run. They kind of petered out in mid-January, but we still saw that silver squeeze into mid-February. But if you look back the last 5-6 years, people buy now, you know, the dip that happens at tax loss selling, and then they ride it up really into the PDAC, because then there's that PDAC curse where things sell off right around that conference. Do you still think we'll see that same seasonality pattern this year then?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing is going to be tax loss selling related profit that people can make over the next 1 month. What happens over the next 3 or 4 months is very difficult to predict, Shad, because there's so much of fear in the market to do with COVID. And I have to say that I'm getting a bit tired of this COVID thing. People are just too afraid of every virus. If we are afraid of everything that comes our way, then we probably should lock ourselves in our houses and not leave home.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think almost everybody's fatigued on the COVID situation. But let me just ask you this, Jayant. If there was a market correction, some people are worried that, you know, that's still a potential, that even just a 10 or 20% correction in the general markets, do you think that would hurt the precious metals markets much more than they already are? Or do you think most of the pain is already factored in at this point?
Well, no, it will hurt the precious metals stock market, because when the general market falls, what I have seen in the past is that everything tends to fall. And that could happen even if gold and silver don't fall so much. So in a bad general market, gold and silver stocks can fall even if gold and silver by themselves don't do so badly.
That is very true. Sometimes we can see the precious metals hold a bit more steady during a market correction, but the underlying stocks can trend lower with the broad markets. Giant, look, we don't know what's going to happen next year. Hopefully next year is a better year for precious metals, and we don't exactly know what those drivers are going to be. A lot of people point to inflation, continued low interest rates, and easy money policies from central banks. We'll see if those continue into next year and if those actually help out precious metals. Let's get a bit more into the stocks, though, because even in slow or bear markets, you still can make money in the sector. You just need to be very selective and time those trades very well. You mentioned that tax loss selling has really hit a lot of different metal stocks. When you're looking into resource stocks right now, understanding that pretty much 90% of them are down for the year, what are some of the key characteristics you're looking for in stocks?
Well, Corey, I'm very value conscious. I am interested in the delta between the share price and the value per share. And the higher the upside I have in terms of value, that's what I focus on. What I usually want is the blue sky to come to me for free. I should have a reasonably assured upside based on what I already see in a stock. That's how I like to invest, because I want to protect my capital foremost compared to just trying to make a multi-bagger. If I protect my capital, I actually end up making good money on what I invest in.
Giant, do you have any specific stocks that you feel are set up in that same way right now that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, Shad, only last year I talked with you about a company called Anaconda Mining. Anaconda those days was trading around 15 to 20 cents. It went up quite a bit, and currently it's trading at about 60 cents. And I still think, despite the fact that it has gone up about three, four times in the last 1.5 years or 2 years, I think there is still a very good upside in Anaconda Mining. It is trading at 60 cents. They came out with a feasibility report on their Goldboro project. And the market seems not to have liked that feasibility report. To me, everything about that feasibility report is very good. Their total resources have gone up to 3 million ounces. Their grade has increased. And their feasibility report on the open pit part of the project is better than what they had in the PEA. Now, they did not do feasibility report on the underground project, which means that the total NPV is lower than what it would have been had they done feasibility report on the underground project as well. But the fact is that why would you want to do a full feasibility report on an underground project that might not come online for the next, let's say, 8 or 9 years. So the management has been correct in not doing feasibility report on the underground part of the project. But the fact remains that so far, whatever they have done makes it look better than what it was in the PEA. Market should have congratulated them for that. But instead, market did not like something about it, and the share price has fallen to 60 cents. I'm a buyer at this price.
Okay, so you think that the market kind of misunderstood or was just expecting something else out of that feasibility study. What do you think drives this stock in the longer term, though, Giant? Is it production growth? Is it more exploration? Because the company does have kind of that two-pronged approach, and the at least production right now, I think, is a little bit on the small side.
Well, they should be producing between 100,000 to 125,000 ounces a year once Goldboro comes into production. They say they might be able to be, they should be able to be in production in, I think, 2 or 3 years' time. And there is a potential to grow the size of that project. They already have 3 million ounces. They should be producing 1 million ounces from the open pit part of the project and another 1 million ounces from the underground part of the project. Now, the problem, Corey, with a company like this is that their market capitalization is just about $110 million. They have to raise about $270 million for CapEx of Goldboro. And that, as we have talked about in the past, is always a problem. How does a company with a $110 million market cap raise about $300 million to put a project into production? So it's always going to be a struggle, and management have to be clever enough to organize raising money in a way that it does not hurt the current shareholders too much. I also worry slightly that Anaconda hasn't had good money-making scenario over the last 9 months. I'm expecting that this quarter, the last quarter of 2021, should be good for the company, but company does not have a huge amount of excess cash left. So market might be worried about the cash situation in the company. I hope they are able to overcome it, overcome that problem, and not have to raise money. But overall, I like the company, and I would want to accumulate on any weakness.
Well, Giant, in full disclosure, I'm a shareholder of Anaconda Mining, and I initially got into it just because I liked that they were a small-scale producer that had, you know, good margins and that they wanted to grow it. Goldboro was always waiting in the wings. Well, now it's here, but they've also just recently put out an update on their Point Rousse project, and they've got over 1 million ounces of gold there, too. And as Corey mentioned, they are producing, their goal over the next 14 months is to produce 29,000 ounces of gold, which is not a huge producer, but do you think that'll help that cash situation and at least get them out of the danger zone a little bit?
Well, Shad, that's where the reason from reason behind why I invested in Anaconda comes. This company should be producing about 10 million ounces, $10 million annualized just from Point Rousse. Now, I am very happy when a company is able to make me a cash flow of $10 million when its market cap is $110 million. So in a way, this Point Rousse project gives a good support to the current share price. And then you get Goldboro, which is a 3 million ounce project on top of the value that you get from Point Rousse. Now, Point Rousse is going to be able to make them only about $20 or $30 million over the next 2 or 3 years. And they need $300 million to put Goldboro into production. And that's where the fact that they have to raise money creates some of problem for them. How they manage it, I don't know, but I think it will. It should be at a higher share price than it is now.
All right, Giant, thank you for the insights there on Anaconda. We'll reach out to the company, too, and bring them back on the show to get more information from management. But what about any other stocks? Any other stocks that you see as being sold off too much or that you have your eye on that you want to share some of your thoughts on, please?
Okay, the another company that I talked with you about is Gold Mountain. It is currently trading at $1.27, and they have fallen quite a bit recently. It went up to $2.50 or so, and now it is trading at just about $1.27. I think they have done an excellent job of putting this project into production. They have actually done better than most companies that I have come across in terms of keeping their promises. So I'm very pleased with the management. It seems that they should be generating a decent amount of cash flow right now. But because the quarterly is not out yet, I have to worry a bit about their cash situation. They do have $9 million in cash based on the last quarterly, but they also have payables of about $6 or $7 million in that quarterly. So that really leaves them not with a huge margin in terms of excess cash. So that worries me a bit. So I am watching the company, but I should want to accumulate it if it falls any further. I do have one concern, Corey, about Gold Mountain, which I actually should have talked with the management before talking with you about, and that is that they spent about $3 million in investor relations and marketing over the last 9 months. for a 91 million market cap company, that looks a bit excessive to me.
Well, Giant, we've had Kevin on the show a number of times from Gold Mountain. Just a couple weeks ago when he came on, he was pretty constructive that everything was still on course for the deal that they have with New Afton to process, you know, their gold over at the New Afton mill site that New Gold owns. And he says that, you know, in this quarter, they should have enough to keep funding their exploration program. But in addition to the 25,000 meters they drilled, because he sees this really still as an exploration company that just happens to have a mine, you know, that's going to produce about 19,000 ounces a year, maybe 20,000 ounces a year. But one thing that stood out to me is their all-in sustaining cost is only $554. So that's a pretty nice margin that they get if gold is at $1,700 or $1,800 if they're around $550. So do you think that'll help them fill up the war chest?
Absolutely, Shad. This is an excellent project, and I know it well because I actually wanted to get a client of mine to buy this project from the earlier owner of the project. And when we did due diligence on this company, our geologists told us that the veins here should run on and on. So they should have a lot longer long life than they have in the current economic studies. So they should be able to generate a good amount of cash over a very long period of time. The new zone that they have discovered is in line with the geologists that I had discussions with several years back when we were trying to buy this project. And yes, indeed, this project should do very well. They should generate a huge amount of cash over the next 1 or 2, 3 years. And then that cash flow should actually increase even further when they ramp up into full production. And then if they continue to find new veins, that's all free upside for me.
So, Giant, do you see that so-called re-rate coming for the stock when they do report some profitable production for, let's say, at least a quarter, maybe even 2 quarters?
Absolutely. If they get rid of the fear that I have about their short-term cash needs, and if they prove in the next 1 or 2 quarters that they are able to generate a positive cash flow from the project, this share price should do very well in the short term. Just over the next, let's say, 5 months, they should start doing very well.
Well, Giant, another thing that Kevin mentioned when we just talked a couple of weeks back is that when they started, they only had 6 veins. They've now identified 42 veins. And the other thing they've done is possibly made a new discovery over at their Elusive Zone, which is a different kind of mineralogy, geology, but he thinks it can still be trucked over to New Afton. And then a third thing, just to throw in here, is they've got 127,000 of old drill core they're relogging. They've only relogged 15,000 meters of it so far. But he said that just helped them grow their ounces over 1 million ounces. They just crossed that milestone. And he believes there's a lot more just from that. Do you see that's an unrecognized opportunity that most people aren't following with the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am looking at my spreadsheet here, Shad. The current production that they have in their economic study is only about 400,000 ounces of gold. Now, their resources are over 1 million ounces. So you can understand that there's so much unappreciated value in the company. With 400,000 ounce production, I already see a nice upside in Gold Mountain. If they can produce a higher number of ounces based on their current resources, the upside will be much higher. So yeah, this is a good project. It's a very good project.
All right, Giant, thank you for your insights today and throughout this year. It's always interesting hearing what stocks you're looking at because you really do filter through this wide range, vast amount of resource stocks and find the ones that you see have some underlying value and are getting really no love in the market. So, Giant, thank you again for your time. Thanks for your time all this year. I look forward to chatting with you in the new year. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday Season. Thanks again for your time, Giant.
Merry Christmas, and thanks very much, Corey and Chad.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.